Lord this evening, book of 1 John, and we're going to teach through the whole book. Been some kind of years since I've dealt with it, but I've done the whole New Testament, a good part of the Old, before I've been here so long, but it's due. We're due 1 John, so that's what we're going to be dealing with this evening. The two purposes of 1 John, you want to remember these. Let me get to the book. The two purposes of John, if you look at 1 John chapter 1, now you want to mark these so you can remember and write down your notebook. It says, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." That's one purpose of the book of 1 John, that your joy may be full. I believe God wants His people to be happy, don't you? And that's one of the purpose of the book of 1 John, that you will have a full joy. Now, our joy meter runs like this. If y'all ever noticed it, it's up and down a good bit. But if you get your focus right, if you get your focus on the Lord first thing in the morning every day and pray to Him off and on all day long and spend time in His book, you'll find that you'll have more joy if you do that. Well, we got to keep our focus on Him, and that's a very important thing to do. And we'll have what as a result? A full joy. So that's one purpose of the book of 1 John. Now look at 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to give you two of them here. 1 John chapter 5 and 13. 1 John 5 and 13. Here's the second purpose of the book of 1 John. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," what? "Know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So really both of those go together, don't they? You can't have a full joy unless you know for sure that you're saved. So you put both of them together. That's two of the texts in the book that are key for us to remember. Do you have a full joy tonight? I want to ask you about that. How is your joy meter? Are you happy? God's people should be the happiest people on earth, but many times they're not. And what determines your joy is where your focus of your mind is at. What you focus on. You focus your attention on the Lord and the things of the Lord, and you pray to the Lord habitually, and you read His book and you come to His house and you get your focus up on who? Up on Jesus, then it gives you joy. You can have the joy of the Lord, don't you think? If you're born again, don't you think you can have the joy of the Lord? But we should seek that every day of our life. It's sad, many times people that are saved, they're not too happy. And they don't seem to be happy. But beloved, don't y'all think we should be the happiest people on the earth? With the benefit package that we have and with the future that we have and with the God that we have, should we not be happy? I think we should. And that's what 1 John, that's one of the purposes of the 1 John, is that you have a full joy and that you may know that you have eternal life. Are you happy tonight that you have eternal life? Man, if you're not happy over that, you're not going to be happy over anything. I have eternal life, and I got it right now. I'm not waiting to see whether I'm going to get eternal life or not. I already got it. That's what salvation is. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life, and I got that gift, and you got that gift. And would y'all say that gift's priceless? Yeah, you can't put a price tag on it. You can't put a price tag on everlasting life. So just because of everlasting life, that is reason enough for you to be happy. All God's people say it. So that's a glorious thing. So that's our two main verses. 1 John 1:4, full joy, and that ye might know that ye have everlasting life. Now what John does is it presents traits of people that have been born again. And if you're born again, you will display certain traits. And the book of 1 John gives you the traits that someone has that's born again. Sometimes we'll say, well, you know, it's got a bill and it quacks and it's got webbed feet. What is it? A duck. What'd you say? Henny. But if it has all the marks, then it's a duck. That's what it is. Well, if you're born again, you will display certain traits that are evidence of that. I've told you this before. I think it's great. I love when people come forward and trust Christ, and I love to see people get saved. But I look for people to change. I look for people to change. If it doesn't change you, I really think there's something wrong with it. Scripture says old things pass away. All things become what? And I look for people to be new, and I look for people to be changed. And 1 John will show you the evidences of someone that's been born again. If you have those evidences, that's a proof of salvation. If you don't have those evidences, hey, something wrong. Something wrong. You see, you base your assurance of salvation on what? On the Word of God. The Word is what tells you whether you're saved or not. You don't base it on a marvelous feeling that come over you. Feelings does this, beloved. You can't base your salvation on feelings. You base your salvation on the Scriptures. They never change. All God's people see it. So it's very important we do that. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. We'll probably get through chapter 1. I'm not sure. But we're going to give you the character traits of those that are born again. So let's go ahead and get in this book. That's what you're going to see. If you bring your notebook with you on Wednesday nights, you can write down the traits so that you'll know what they are. You should see them. If you're in yourself, you should see. I mean, if you've trusted Christ yourself, you should see these traits in you. They must be in you. They should be in you. If you've been what? Born again. If you've been saved, you should see that. All right, let's get in the book. Let's get in chapter 1, and we'll work our way through it. And then we'll get in, once we get done with 1 John, we'll go to 2 John, then 3 John. We'll do all three of them. And we're going to do that on Wednesday night. So you want to be sure to keep coming on Wednesday night so that we can, you can hear all the teaching to it. Verse 1, now, that which was from the beginning kind of reminds you of St. John, doesn't it? That's how it starts in the book of St. John. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Now, do you see the capital letters on the word word? That's because it's talking about Christ. It's talking about Jesus. If you just go back to John chapter 1 and the verse 1, I showed you this when I was teaching some in John. John chapter 1. And you'll again see the words are capital. And the reason why they're capital letters is because it's referring to a person. And the person that it's referring to is Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word. You see the capital letter? It's talking about a person. And the Word was with God. Then it says the Word was God. Everybody see that? And then it goes on, the same was in the beginning with God. So there's a lot in John chapter 1. Now look over at the verse 14 and notice what it says. It uses the capital letter again for the term word because it's referring to a person. What's the person that it's referring to? Jesus. He's the word that was with God. Notice what it says in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, who is the Word? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So, let's go back. And John uses that in the Gospel of John. He uses it again in the book of 1 John. And what that stresses is Jesus' deity. Is that important? That means Jesus is God. Jesus' deity means that Jesus is God. You lose Jesus' deity, you lose your Savior. I mean, Jesus was God in the flesh. And He took flesh so that He could go and be born under the law, so that he could go to Calvary and pay your sin debt. That's why he did it. So it's very important that you understand that the word is referring to Jesus. Okay? All right. Now let's go ahead. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. The life was manifested. And we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Now, what's he called? You look up in the text, he calls him the Word of Life. And now, what else does he call him? I show unto you that eternal life. So not only does he call him the Word of Life, but he also calls him what else? Eternal life. Who do you get eternal life from? Eternal life comes from Jesus. Beloved, wouldn't it be a horrible life without eternal life? I mean, what a horrible life this would be. I mean, you know, as you age and as you get older, and the average lifespan's 70, and sometimes by reason of strength, according to Psalms 90, it's 80 years. Man, not to have eternal life would be a horrible thing. Ain't you glad you got eternal life? Aren't you glad if you die tonight, you'd have eternal life, you go off to be with the Lord? But not to have eternal life, it's just such a vain world without that. People live so often for the temporary things, and they just forget the eternal things. They just totally set those things to the side, whereas the eternal things is the main things. Because if you have eternal life, you're going to live forever with the Lord. You're going to go to heaven at the end of your days. You got victory over death. Even when you die, you go off to be with Jesus. It's just a glorious thing to have these great things that the Lord has purchased for us by His grace. Okay? So, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye may have fellowship, that ye may have fellowship with us. So we've mentioned here that He's given us eternal life. You see that in verse 2. How do you get eternal life again? By receiving Jesus as your Savior. That's what salvation is, and that's what everybody that's born again has. That which you have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, twice it says fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop and talk here just a little bit more about this. How's your fellowship with the Lord? How's your closeness with the Lord? You know, really, what determines how happy you are, it has a lot to do with your fellowship with God. How is your fellowship? You see, twice it mentions it in. It's one of the key words also. You got fellowship in verse 3. You got it twice in verse 3. You look up in verse 6, it mentions fellowship again. So fellowship is an important thing. We should have a close fellowship with the Lord. And He's give us, what's the keys to having a close fellowship with the Lord? What's the keys to having a close fellowship with the Lord? Well, huh? Boy, that's one, isn't it? Reading His Word, I mean, it's called God's Word. Prayer's another one. What's another one? How about going to church? Church is another one. Fellowship. We had a fellowship meeting over here the other night, and that's ways that you have fellowship. We need to fellowship with the Lord, beloved. We need to spend time with the Lord. There's no question with regard to the Lord that He wants to spend time with His child. You know, I got two boys, and you know, I don't want a thing from them. I don't want their money. I don't want a dime of their money. You know what I want? Does anybody know? I want their time. That's what I want. I want their time. I want to spend I think it's special to be able to spend time with your children, y'all think? Well, what do you think our Heavenly Father wants from us? I'm asking. He wants your time. He wants your attention. You know, many times we don't spend time with the Lord. We don't spend time in His book. We don't spend time in prayer. And we don't spend time in His house. We just don't really think about Him that much. That's awful, isn't it? God's people, if you love the Lord, one of the ways that shows you love the Lord is that you spend time with Him. The key to fellowship is time. And that's what He wants. That's what He desires more than anything else from you. Now that you're born again, He wants your what? He wants your time. How much time? I want you to ask yourself this. How much time do you spend with the Lord? And there's no question on His part that He wants to spend time with you. And you spend time with Him, you know what it'll do for you, don't you? Well, it go on down to the verse 4. These things write we unto you that what may happen? What's it say? That your joy may be full. You know, one of the reasons why God's people ain't happy is because they don't spend no time with the Lord. They spend time doing everything else, but they don't spend no time with the Lord. You got to have fellowship with the Lord. Hey, do y'all like spending time with Jesus? Isn't it a joyous thing? I talk all the time about my prayer walks. I did that before I came to church today. And, man, I love to do that. Is He walking with me when I'm going out through there? Oh, it's the sweetest thing in the world to me. I love to walk about 45 minutes out through the hollow. Watch for snakes if you're walking out that way. But anyhow, walking out that hollow and just talking to the Lord. Oh, I love to do that. Oh, it lifts me up. Listen to me now. I take all those old burdens pastors gets burdened. And I get all them old burdens and I unload everything on the Lord. They ain't no use me carrying them. Is there any use you carry them? You don't have to. Psalm 55 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and He'll sustain you. That's what I do with them. Or you can carry them. How's that carrying thing working out for you? Makes you miserable, robs you of your sleep. It'll make you sick over time. So what you do is you get alone with Jesus and you cast it on Him. And you'll feel better for a bit, and then it'll come back and hit you again. How many knows what I'm talking about? Throw it again! You gotta wrestle with that thing. Seriously, you gotta wrestle with that thing. Throw it again. Keep pitching it off on the Lord, and He can handle it, and He will. Turn it over to Him. And that'll help your fellowship, and as a result of that, that'll give you joy. God's people don't have joy many times, but it's because they don't cast their cares. And then number two, because they don't fellowship with Jesus none. Love of Jesus makes me happy. I love to spend time with the Lord. I like to talk to Him, like I've already said. I like to love His book. Oh, how I love that Bible He's given me. I like to read it. I like to work through it. I look at it slow. I savor it. I think about it. I see what's in it. I look up and see what it means. I just can't get enough of the Scriptures. All God's people say it. I just can't get enough of the Scriptures. I love them. They feed me. They lift me up. They encourage me. They give me joy. And you got your own copy of your... Hey, you got your own copy of the Scriptures too. He's laid a Bible in your lap. And you can use that for great joy in time. I dare say, if you had your television here and your Bible here, and we had meters on both sides, I'd shudder to think how much higher that time on that television would be in comparison to God's house and God's Word. I would shudder to think. And the problem today with God's people is that. That's the problem. That's why many times God's people ain't real spiritual. Well, how could you be? What you suck in through your eyes all the time is going to affect how you think and what you do. Am I right or wrong? It's going to affect how you think and it's going to affect on what you do. Man, you get alone with Jesus and you let Him talk to you through His book. You know the difference. You know what the difference between just reading and study is, right? Remember what I told you? It's pen and paper. Get your pen and paper out. Look it up. Write down what the Lord shows you in the text. Look up the text. We got with them computer things. You got that e-sword on there. You can look at some of the greatest scholars that's ever been on earth is on e-sword. And you can look up the text and get an idea of what the words mean and everything. All of it's right there. We got all kinds of things we can use. But many times we don't use them. We have greater knowledge, greater understanding of text. My beloved, if we would ask for a show of hands, how much time have we spent up to this point in the Scriptures in fellowship with the Lord? See, we're talking about fellowship. We done talked about eternal life. We know all about eternal life, right? But what about fellowship? Those that have eternal life should have a desire to have fellowship with their Lord. And what will that give you? Joy. You know, I dare say that many times God's people ain't happy is because they don't spend no time with Jesus. Y'all think Jesus will make you happy? Oh, my. Have you ever come to church service and heard a message and then you left happy? Have you ever opened the Bible, maybe at the house, you're sitting on your porch and you're going through your daily bread and, oh, get happy? Start crying like a little girl? Nothing wrong with that, being a little girl now. If you just start crying about it, I do that all the time. Get tore up over it. What I'm reading, you know. I think it's a wonderful thing. Get walking, start talking to Jesus, and I start thinking about what He's done for me and how much He loved me and what He paid for me and all that. Just start crying like a little girl walking out the hollow. Hoping the hunters don't come out and see me wiping tears out of my eyes. I'm tender-hearted about the things of the Lord, and we've got too hard over the years. Ain't nothing wrong with that, buddy. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. Let's go back to our text. So, verse 3 says that we might have what we've seen and heard declare we unto you that you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Apostle John and who he's writing to, they had a close fellowship with the Lord. And that's why he's mentioning fellowship. Now, verse 4, let's look back at it again. Why did he write verse 4? That your joy may be what? You had to have a full joy. A full joy. And how do you get a full joy? How do you get a full joy? Spending time with the Lord, isn't it? Spending time in His book, prayer, all these things. Y'all remember King David in Psalms 51? He committed adultery. He fell into sin. And his fellowship with his God wasn't what it was before he fell into sin. Y'all agree? Psalm 51? You ever read what David wrote in Psalm 51? This was the psalm he wrote when he repented of his sin. And here's what he says in Psalm 51. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, God's people said. Now, beloved, you can lose the joy of your salvation. If you're truly born again and you drift like David did, and you drift like he did, he lost all of his joy. A child of God will never be happy living in sin if they're truly saved, all God's people say. Never be happy. The Holy Spirit will convict. Now, I realize that sometimes that voice sometimes will grow silent with some folks and they get cold. Have you ever seen anybody wax real cold? Sometimes that happens to people too. But I want to tell you something, beloved. A full joy with the Lord is associated with fellowship with the Lord. If you don't spend no time with the Lord, then your joy is not going to be full. And there's a variety of ways that we do that. We've been mentioned in the coming to his house, coming to his studying his word, praying, having a prayer time. You know, you read in the scriptures, God's people had a prayer time. You look in the Psalms, morning, noon, and evening. They prayed. They had prayer times. They had prayer times. Did Daniel have a prayer time? Three times a day he went to prayer. You say, well, I can't. I got to work. I prayed the whole time I worked. I prayed when I worked. I'd go up in my car and study my Bible at lunch. You know, they let me do that. That company was so good to me. They knew that I was a pastor, and they knew that I worked a lot of hours. And they made everybody stay in. You had to stay in the building, you know. Well, I couldn't go in the break room and study. And you know how it's a break room for crying out loud, all full of men carrying on, you know, and that's fine. And the boss said, well, Jeb, you know, if you want to go out and study in your car, you just go on. Lord opened that door for me, and nobody complained over it. And some of the center men on the job, they said, now don't you bother the preacher out there, he's studying his Bible. That's what they'd say. Don't bother the preacher, he'll be in a bit. And that's what they'd do, the old center man on the job. And several of those old boys the Lord saved too, by the way. One of them sits on that pew right there on Sunday mornings. Yeah. Don't you bother the preacher. That's what they'd do. It gives you joy to be in the Scriptures. I was able to study and spend time with him. And the Lord helped me a lot in that time frame there, especially when I wasn't full time. Well, I didn't have a lot of time. Worked a lot of hours. The Holy Spirit just would open them up to you, you know. Never, hey, he's a great God, isn't he? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you got a full joy? Are you happy? Do you spend time? Now, if I ask you, are you happy the next day and you're not, what's the problem? You're not spending no time with Jesus, or you're living in sin one, there's something wrong. Something wrong. You can be happy if you're saved, can't you? How horrible would it be for someone not to be happy and saved? What has he done for us? What has he done? Let me show you this. I've showed you this a million times too, but I don't care. Psalms 103. All right. Psalms 103. I've preached this a million times, and I always called it the benefit package. I always wanted everybody that goes to church here to know the benefit package. Y'all know, I was in the Teamsters Union for a number of years, and I was on the negotiating committee. They hate for preachers to be on the negotiating committee, but I was on the negotiating committee. And you know what I was interested in, right? Benefits. Benefits, you don't realize how much benefits cost. I do. But I was on the negotiating committee. And we were interested in benefits, like I said. But in Psalms 103, it's the greatest benefit package that you ever, it's priceless. And if you're in here tonight and you're born again, this is your benefit package. Let me read it to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His. See the word benefits? Now He gives you what the benefit package is. It all starts with who? Who forgives all your iniquities. How many iniquities does Jesus forgive you for? Now if He missed one, it would be sufficient to send you to hell for. That's why we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. He don't pay it half. He pays it all. It's important that you have that benefit. What a benefit that is. He forgiveth all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. You know, one of these days we're going to get a body that never gets what? Never going to get old and never going to get sick. He redeemed our life from destruction. That's an eternal destruction from the presence of God. He's crowned us with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. And you can't count them. You can't count what He's done in His tender mercies and loving kindnesses. And He satisfies your mouth with what? good things. I believe it was Jacob. I might be wrong. But he said, he was the God that fed me all the days of my life. Who feeds you? Walmart? God feeds you. I mean, when you look at all that he's done for us, it just blows me away when I look at it. I mean, just this benefit package right here is priceless. Let's go back to 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John. So verse 4 says, and we've done mentioned this, that these things we write unto you, that your what may be full, that your joy may be full. He wants you to have a full joy. And what brings that full joy is back in verse 3. What's it say? Fellowship. Twice it says fellowship in verse 3. Fellowship with who? Jesus. Does he want to spend time with you? Yeah. That's time well spent too, right? Now let's go to verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what do we do? John's blunt. If we say we have fellowship with him and we're walking in darkness at the same time, we lie. That's what he says. Can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness at the same time. You can't. That's what you're showing you in the text. Many people try to, live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church house. Many do that. They do. And you know, the Lord ain't fooled by that. Beloved, don't you want to please Jesus? I mean, seriously, don't you want to please him? He knows whether you're living half in and half out. He's not fooled by all that kind of stuff. He's not fooled by that at all. So, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, what's it say? We what? You lie. You're lying. You ain't got fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes people say, I've been living in sin the past couple months, but you know, I've never been so close to the Lord in my life. That's a lie. You can't be close to the Lord and live that way. That's a contradiction. Now, Lord, forgive you if you'd ask. You agree? He'll forgive you and he wants you to forsake it, don't he? A lot of people don't want to forsake that sin, don't they? Want to hold on to it. Beloved, you'll never be, hey, listen, if you're truly born again, you'll never be happy in sin. Now, if you're born again, it'll grieve your heart. But if you, and you need to get, and listen to me, you need to take care of it quick. Because if you ain't careful over time, you know what'll happen to you? You'll get calloused. You know what a callous is, right? You know, it's just like a callous. It is. You know, you can get to working and my hands used to be tough. They ain't no more. But you know, when I used to work, one of the things that you could tell when you was working hard is, man, you get a callous, Larry. You ever get a big old callous on your hands? You wasn't used to the job. But you know what happened after a while? You know what happened after a while, though? It quit hurting. You know why I quit hurting? Somebody tell me. It got calloused. And what happens what happens to a believer when they get calloused spiritually? Don't hurt them no more. Don't bother them a bit. What's wrong with them? Calloused. And you can get calloused, and sometimes people do. But I'm telling you something, beloved, it's a dangerous place to get. I've told you this before, too. I'm afraid of the Lord. Are y'all? I fear his chastening rod. He'll whip you. And I believe that. He will. I'm glad he does, because that's how he keeps you. But he'll correct his children. And I fear his chastening hand. Let's move on now. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what do we do again? We lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's how God expects His people to live. He wants us to walk in the light. What do we have if we walk in the light according to verse 7? What do we have? We have fellowship with one another. You know what the key to joy in life is, beloved? Fellowship with the Lord. You have a close fellowship with the Lord, you'll be happy. You don't have a close fellowship with the Lord, you won't be happy. Not if you're born again. Are you happy? Do you have joy? Many times people don't, because they don't have the fellowship with the Lord they should have. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let me go ahead and finish this part. 8 through 10. I'm almost done with chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You're not sinless. Never have been and never will be until you go to heaven and get your new body. Or your spirit leaves your body and goes to heaven either way. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. You know, when you're born again, you realize you got sin in you, don't you? You notice how much it bothers you? Still got sin in you. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth's not in us. If we confess our sin, is it important to confess your sins? You know, one of the things that causes people to drift, I think, is a failure to confess their sins. You need to confess your sins. And what happens is if a person doesn't confess their sins, then they'll get cold in it. And then they'll get to where it doesn't bother them. You ever seen anybody get that way? You got cold and indifferent. So there's a need to confess your sins. You don't wait to do it. You do it when you know, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your, He'll bring things to your mind. Don't wait to do it. Say, Lord, forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for doing that. You ever do it? How many does it? You ever do it? We need to do it all the time. And you know what the Lord will do when you get close to Him is He'll give you a tender conscience with regard to these kinds of things. He'll give you a real tender conscience. And things will bother you. Things will bother you. And you confess them. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, when we trusted Jesus as our Savior, He give us what I would call judicial forgiveness. He forgive you for all your sins. Not half of them. All of them. Romans 4 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But we also have, that's judicial forgiveness. But we also have parental. We also need parental forgiveness. You ever heard of parental forgiveness? What am I talking about? Is God our Father? That's what I'm talking about when I say parental forgiveness. If you're here tonight, born again, believe everybody here tonight, saved, hope. God will give you parental forgiveness. I mean, and what you do is you go to Him, and have you ever confessed your sins to Him? You'll go, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I said. Forgive me for what I saw. Forgive me for what, you know, that's called what kind of forgiveness? And that what this is a child going to their father and saying, Lord, I've sinned against you. Does he know it already? Well, yeah, he already knew. He saw it when you did it. But what does he want you to do? I want you to confess it to Him. I've told you this whole story just so you'll remember what I just said just now. Years ago, we was up at... I used to throw the discus. Yeah, I could sling that thing. And one day I was out on the football track and there's a car tire out there. And I took that car tire and I went, woo! It rung right around that, what do you call that thing? Yeah, the upright. That's the only thing I could think of. You know, where you kick the ball through. Goalpost, for crying. I throw that thing. It run around the goalpost. Larry Eccles, it run around the goalpost. You know what happened then, don't you? I was out there with the Mallards and I throw discus in the shot. I was the biggest guy out there then. And you know what those little boys there, the young boys, everyone started swinging on that tire. Guess what they done to the goalpost? It broke it. It broke the whole goalpost over like that. Guess who come out? Anybody know? Dick Darby. Coach Darby. Here he come walking. There I stood like this right here. And there they was about this tall. Mallards. They're skinny. Who tore that goalpost down? He knew I'd done it. He really did. Who tore that down? I want to know. If I find out who tore it down, I'm going to kick him off the team. And then that killed me. I was a senior. I didn't want to get kicked off the track team. He knew I did it. So he left. And you know what? He lived right around the circle from where I lived up here in Poca. And I got home and I had been in high school. I was witnessing the Coach Darby. Me and him was tight. So I went home and I thought, man, I got to tell him. I said, I'm embarrassed, but I got to tell him. And I walked over there and I knocked on his door and here he came. Here he stood there and I said, Coach, I throwed that tire up there. He said, I know you did, stupid. I just wanted you to tell me. That's what he said. Going home. That's what he did. But it was like, oh, it was a horrible thing. That's what confession does for you. Man, when I got done talking to him, I was like, oh, man, it's all. He still loves me, you know. And it broke my heart. That's the illustration I think you should remember. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to come and tell him about. Does he already know? Did Coach Darby already know? But what do you want me to do? You want me to confess it. That's what the Father wants us to do. All God's people say. And when you get it out in the open, you bring it to the Lord, what will he do? He'll forgive you. Every time. Let me finish this. If we say that we have not sinned, we make who a liar? We make him a liar. And his word is not in us. So we all sin. And in order to be close to the Lord, we need to constantly deal with the sin that we see in our life. Do you all agree? We need to constantly monitor. You can't monitor everybody else, but you can monitor yourself. We not only have outward sins, but we also have sins of the heart. Do you have sins of the heart? Oh, my. Sins of the thought? It's everywhere. And the first step of drifting out of fellowship with the Lord is you quit confessing your sin. And you drift and drift and drift. All God's people said. I'm going to stop with that. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight.